Again, I'm thankful to be here. Thankful for God's goodness to me. I'm reminded of that in many situations, many times. I guess my mind stirred to that. I had an opportunity to go back to Dover and seen people from a number of places I hadn't seen for a while. And my mind stirred. God's been good to me. God has been faithful to me. Thought as I was studying this afternoon, getting my thoughts together. You know, it's no secret we live in a time of apostasy. And by apostasy, I mean a time when people are going more away from God than they're going towards God. And I don't mean that in despair, and I don't mean it's the worst times ever, but I do mean, from my observation, that's more of a fact. More people are drawing back away from God than are drawing close to God. We live in a time of low spiritual condition. My mind stirred to that. You know, we have services every now and then, here and there, where the Spirit of God is in a real way, but not the way it once was. Sadly, the church today seems kind of mired in a lukewarm condition, having trouble pulling itself out. And sometimes it's difficult to know where to begin. My mind has stirred that. I got on my calendar meetings, different places that I'm planning to attend over the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, several of them. And when God's people come together, my mind goes to our needs. Our needs as God's people, what we stand in need of. And meditating on those things, I was reminded of the question asked Jesus. If you want to start there, let's start Matthew, the 22nd chapter, for a text. This is the time Jesus was teaching, and one of the scribes or teachers came and asked him a question with the intent of tripping him up. I mean, really, a lot of times when the scribes came and asked him questions, they weren't honestly seeking an answer. They were trying to find some way to trip him up. But in Matthew 22nd chapter, the 36th verse, he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." And a parallel passage to that is found in Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 29. And Jesus answered him and said, "First of all, the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." You know, it's our love for God and our commitment to God that needs revived. All the other things are secondary. Everything else in this Christian walk is secondary to that. When our love for God and our commitment to God is stirred, when it is set on fire, the rest of life will fall into place. That don't mean you won't be without troubles and struggles. But it does mean that's the starting point for seeing us revived as God's people. Our love for God and our commitment to Him. Loving God is the starting point of serving God, isn't it? Loving God's the starting point of serving God and a commitment to Him. It begins with repentance. What is repentance? Is repentance not that we turn from loving ourselves, as I preached this morning, to loving God? Is that not that we know when the Bible talks about having a change of heart? What does that mean? Is it not the change of heart? Isn't it from loving ourselves above everything else to loving God above everything else? That's the very change. Loving God's the starting point of serving God. Repentance, again, is turning from ourselves to loving God. It's abandoning that life lived to please ourselves to a life of pleasing God. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the first commandment. And by that, I believe it means it's before all of our other duties and commandments. That's the first thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's before everything else. I know we've cluttered up this Christian life with a lot of rules and regulations, and there are do's and don'ts in living for God. Don't get confused. But we've cluttered it up as far as what's most important. The first and most important thing is to love God with all your soul, mind, and strength. It's before all your other duties. It's before every other commandment. It's even before loving others. And I know we have emphasized that the love of God will be lived out in your life in a love for one another. But I'm going to tell you something. Loving God is before loving one another. You can't love one another, right, without loving God first. You know, without obedience to this commandment, listen, Without obedience to loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you cannot truly obey any other commandment. You know why? Because obedience to the commandment always begins in the heart. It isn't just a matter of not lying, not cheating, not stealing. It's a matter of why we do those things. It's a matter of why we do what we do or don't do what we do. You know what? You cannot lie and not cheat for selfish reasons. Do you know that? And it doesn't accrue any holiness to you when you do that. It's only when our heart motive is right that our actions also become. We're not the Pharisees, careful in their outward. What's Jesus' opinion of the Pharisees? Was it you know he condemned them, right? Was it because they lived too strict? No. What was wrong with the Pharisees? Their heart, right? It was their heart that was wrong. And without, this is the starting place. You can't build a Christian life without starting here with loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the first commandment before all the others. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the greatest commandment above all the others. Loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the most important commandment. All those, too many today, are trying to serve God and build up the kingdom of God without having a proper foundation. What happens without a foundation? The house comes down, doesn't it? And that's what happens. No matter how much we attend church, no matter how much we give attention to all the other details, without this foundation, we won't be successful in living for God. I hear places sometimes today where other ideas, other doctrines, or other teachings are elevated to a place of supremacy that belongs only to this commandment. I believe in the Church of God and I teach the Church of God message, but it is not on par with loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love of others is not on par with loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I teach that, you know that. Even the moral precepts are not on par with loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're all necessary. They're all part of real Christianity, but they're not the supreme. You get what I'm saying? The most important, the foundation, if you will, is loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's what gives meaning to all the rest. Without this commandment, without loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the rest of it's meaningless. It's playing church. It's just religion. That's all it amounts to, unless our heart is fully in relationship with God. It's this love of God that is our relationship to God, right? The love of God is the foundation of our relationship. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Who does God have a relationship with? Who is in relationship with God in the right way? Is it not those who love him? Who give evidence that they love him and God loves him in return and comes and abides, lives with them. 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Listen, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and his commandments are not grievous. Loving God's a focal point of all true religion. It's what brings us into relationship with God and keeps us in relationship to God. It's what ought to be central to all of our worship, central to all of our living, central to everything we do is that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does that mean? You know, we talk about that. That sounds good. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We'd all raise our hands and say amen, right? What does that really mean? With all our heart. All our soul, all our mind, all our strength, all. This is where the problem lies today too often. Too often we hold things back. Too often we reserve a portion of our life or our heart or our affections to ourselves. All means nothing held back, nothing reserved, nothing withheld from God. That we abandon ourselves completely to God. That everything about us is in submission to God. to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love Him with our heart. I think He divided heart, soul, mind, strength. I think heart in this idea has the idea with all of our heart means not having divided affections. Loving Him with all of our heart, not having something else, not our job, not our career, not our family, not anything else, not our money, not our home, not anything else competing with the place that belongs to God. Too many today love God, but there's other things mingled in so close. They really couldn't be said that they love Him with all their heart. It's loving Him in sincerity. It's more than just words, but it's really loving God with all of our heart. Love Him with all of our soul. I think it has the idea of loving Him with everything that is within us. It has the idea of our affections, of our desires, of our ambitions. Loving Him with everything that's within us. Loving Him with our mind, with all of our mind, means our thoughts are engaged, our ambitions are engaged in Him. Everything about it is engaged in loving Him. And then loving Him with all of our strength is with all of our energy, with all of our might. It's not just that we have those thoughts and feelings on the inside, but they're lived out, that we put them into play. Love is in action, not just in our heart. This real love for God requires consecration to God. We're to love God with all of our powers, a sincere, fervent, energetic love, with everything we have, to put it in action in our life, loving with all of our strength. And that requires consecration. And too often, this is the problem today. Too often, people have good intentions, good desires, they really haven't consecrated themselves to God as they ought. Thought of this as a Dover listening Friday. To be consecrated is to be devoted to dedicate to. To dedicate means to set apart for a specific purpose, devoted wholly and completely. To be consecrated or dedicated to the Lord then means to be set apart for God's use, completely devoted and dedicated to God, belonging to God. And this is His in a real and unique sense. And that's what's missing today. Many claim they've been bought with a price, that they belong to God. But yet, if you observe their life, they're still pretty much in control. But to view ourselves as really belonging to God, that we're not our own anymore, that we've been bought with a price, and therefore, everything about us, we live with a consciousness that we belong to God, yielded to His will and our attitudes, and a real heart submission that we want what God wants. You know, so often I find ourselves as Christians praying what we want. And sometimes even when we begin to understand what God wants may be different from what we want, we still cling to what we want. Hey, to be really dedicated means we yield that to God because He loves us and knows best. We yield it up to Him because we love Him. Yielded to Him in our attitudes. A willingness, and not just a willingness, but an eagerness to do the will of God. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Does that mean that sometimes it's always easy to obey? No, it doesn't mean you won't have struggles and temptations. But it means overall, in our course of life, we want to do what God wants us to do. Amen. Is that what we want? To please Him. We want to do what He wants us to do. You know, being consecrated and being filled with the Spirit are related concepts. Thought in Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Well, anybody seen anybody drunk before? Most of you, unfortunately, have been in, some of you younger ones, if you haven't, that's good. But most of us have been in places where we've seen that, right? What happens when a person begins to drink? Alcohol gradually begins to affect the way they talk, the way they think, the way they walk, everything about them, right? They become under the influence of alcohol. He said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be under that. But he's drawn a comparison. He said, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And what that means is yield ourselves to the influence of God's Spirit, to where the influence of God's Spirit becomes apparent in how we talk, how we walk, how we think. Being consecrated to God is necessary to being filled or influenced by the Holy Spirit. It's both our hunger for God and our submission and consecration to Him that causes us to be filled with the Spirit. That's what causes everybody that's saved has the Spirit of God within them. But I'll tell you this, not everybody is filled with the Spirit. Not everybody that is truly saved, life is completely under the control of the Lord. You know why? Even when you get saved, you still have control of your life. In that sense, that you're making choices. If you yield to God, it's because you choose to yield to God. Right? Otherwise, you'd never sin again. Right? It's because you choose to yield yourself to God. And consecrating ourselves to God, it's only as we empty ourselves of ourselves that we can be filled with God and influenced by God. And that does take conscious effort to achieve. Your biggest battle in living this Christian life is not the world, is not Satan. Your biggest battle in living this Christian life is yourself. Honest. If you come to grips with that, you're going to find the key to living this Christian life. Most people's biggest battle in living the Christian life is themselves. Amen. What we want, what we think. Well, how do we consecrate ourselves to God? First of all, I believe we need to submit ourselves to the will of God. And by that I mean consciously. Consciously come to a point where we recognize and acknowledge before God that we belong completely to Him. That we are not our own anymore. It's not mine to choose where I live, where I work, what I do. That's all subject to God's will. Amen? It's all subject to what God wants in my life. That I'm not my own. Been bought with a price. Remind ourselves daily that we belong to Him. And you know that's a good thing? Because in belonging to Him, He's responsible for us to look out for us and take care of us. But it also means that all we have, all that we are, all that we do belongs to Him. Our life's not our own anymore. Isn't that what Paul said? Hey, if one died for us, if I was dead, one died that I might have this life, it's not mine anymore. It belongs to the one who died for me. And we ought to live that way. I think we know that in our heads. We know it in theory and we know it in Scripture, but not very often. Are we conscious of it to where it affects our life as we ought to? And for that reason, many Christians today are well-intentioned, but they come to church on Sunday and they live their life as if it was their own the rest of the week. And I don't mean out in sin. I don't mean out. I mean just directing. That's what it means to be lukewarm. Not on fire. Not really fully submitted to God. We need to make sure we keep our affection for God fervent. You know how you do that? Live with God every day. That's how you keep your affections fervent. You know what? If you wake up in the morning, you ask God for what you need for that day. You seek Him in everything, even as has been mentioned. As I go through the day, if I know people, I may get a phone call and a problem. And I'm saying, God, help me to know how to respond. Help me know what to do, whether it's dealing with people or even working on the car. I've told you many times, there's times I'm frustrated, laying under the car, this needs to be done so we can go. And I say, God, help me. Help me to get, now that don't mean the bolts fall off automatically and nothing ever breaks either. But it does mean God helps me in dealing with the family, and dealing with different areas, to see God in every part of our life. And then as you ask Him for everything, what God does you become conscious of, and you can thank Him for it. And you can lay down at night and thank God for His help throughout the day. Trust Him. Go to sleep. Trust Him. Leave it in His hands. And as you do that, as that becomes part of your life, day after day, week after week, year after year, your love for God and your trust in God grows deeper. That's a real relationship. If you don't put the time into your relationship with God, it'll never grow. Do you know that? I tell you what, if some didn't put more effort into their marriage than what they put into serving God, they still wouldn't be married. It wouldn't have stood, right? Hey, I want to put it this way. If some would have put no more effort into serving God than they did dating, they never would have got married. Because the relationship never would have went anywhere. Hey, relationship with God is real. And as a real relationship, it requires that we put our time, energy, and affection into it. Meditate on God's goodness. Make sure you keep your relationship. You know what? If you become conscious of anything that separated you from God, take care of it. Keep your relationship real. If you start living over top of stuff, and you know what I mean, living not wanting to make things right or do what's right, but go on professing, you can fall into just having a form. Amen? And not having a real relationship with God. We need to learn to live a careful and disciplined life. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Another translation says, I discipline my body. Keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We need to learn to live a disciplined life. Careful, walk careful before. Why? Because we don't want to break the relationship with God. We don't want to have that relationship interrupted. The first commandment, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God's one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is a beginning point. As God's people, there's a lot of things we stand in need of. The people of God, there's a lot of things we stand in need of. But I tell you what, nothing else is accomplished until we obey the first commandment. Until we obey the greatest commandment. Until we obey the most important commandment, the commandment on which all the other commandments hang. Is this, that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's going against the tide today. I don't care where you're at, where you've been. I will tell you, loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength is not the ordinary Christian experience today. But it ought to be. It ought to be. It's the foundation. It's the core. Without this, all we have is religion. And I tell you what, religion ain't going to satisfy you. Unless the only thing that really satisfies, the only thing that will satisfy you and me and anybody else that comes among us is a real relationship with God. What is it about Christianity that brings satisfaction? Is it not knowing that God loves us? I mean, knowing, not just hearing the words, but when we know God loves us, when we know God's watching out for us, when we have the assurance of His love, when we have peace within our hearts because God's in control, when we know that we can trust Him because He loves us, is that not where satisfaction, that's where Satan always, I'll tell you that, that's where Satan always battles to disrupt one way or the other too, because that's the heart of real Christianity. That's the satisfying portion. And without loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I don't care what profession we make, we will never find that satisfaction. And I contend there's many Christians today who are not satisfied. They don't know why. They continue to have enough conscience to try and live right, but really their time, their energy, their affections are spent chasing satisfaction someplace else. And I don't mean in sinful things, but I mean it's spent chasing it in acquiring things, having fun. I like having fun, and I like having things too. Their career. Amen? That's where they're looking for satisfaction. And God help us. We can look around the world and say, oh, how evil it is, how wicked it is. But I've told you before and I'll tell you again, the only time it gets dark in this world is when the light grows dim. It ain't the world's fault that we have darkness. It's those who know the truth's fault when darkness moves in. It only gets dark as the light grows dim. And I want to challenge us to think deeply. Do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we really? Do we really? Are we really consecrated to Him? Do we seek Him for our assurance, for our peace, for our satisfaction? Are we really sold out to Him? You know, I know there were errors in the teaching of a second definite work of sanctification, but I tell you what, we lost something of a hunger when we lost that. We gave up more than we needed to. There ought to be a hunger within us to want more of God, to see ourselves fully consecrated to Him. Now, I know there's not an experience that takes you beyond temptation. There's not an experience that eradicates the Adamic nature. I know that. But I also know there is experience beyond regeneration and consecrating ourselves to God and selling out completely. That I know. And too many among us today come up short of that measure. Really, I'm not trying to be critical. I've been honest. We don't have the power and the presence of God in the measure that ought to be and needs to be among God's people today. And that isn't God's desire. If that ever happens, that's always our fault, not God's. Because God desires. He put out a lot of effort to have a relationship with us. And if there's ever a hindrance, it's on our part. I want to challenge you. I know it's a little disjointed tonight. I told David when I was studying, I said, you know, next time I preach this, it'll be better. I'll have a clearer mind. But I said, this one, I'm going to start tonight and go with it, with what I got. But I want to stir up your thinking to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Amen. I am thankful for everything God does. I really am. I am thankful for God's help. God, specifically, God's helped us. I'm thankful for everything He does, but I'm telling you, there's yet more. There's yet more that we can experience with Him. And I hope to create a little hunger in your heart that you would make sure you, and I would make sure I, am really sold out to God, consecrated, and cultivate the love of God in my heart to where we can truly say, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Amen. May God help you. As you stand as we sing a verse of song.